is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, and showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if you've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. For the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever loosens one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled exile to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not so hard now, is it? That's attainable, my man, right? Most believe it is. Most believe that a world full of peace and righteousness can be created down here on earth. Cities like Philadelphia, which means the city of brotherly love, shouldn't have the only claim to such a title. All cities should be dubbed such a place, right? Brotherly love, just oozing out everywhere. All the communities getting along, no one keeping to themselves, every neighbor coming to the aid of the other, comforting one another, no matter what race, no matter what political party, no matter what social status. But what is really displayed, what is truly witnessed, not only in the city of Philadelphia, but in every city, district, county, town, street, and house, gang wars, sexual assaults, murders, abortion clinics, battered women shelters, the anger in homes, and the insults in the streets. Where is the brotherly love that every city thinks that they possess? In the gospel text for today, you hear of Jesus gathering his disciples upon a mountain, and he lays out for them his vision for the church, for people to live together in love. He made clear that this did not mean that you would simply refrain from stabbing or shooting one another, but that you would be actively engaged in friendship and love, brotherly love toward one another. His church was to be an assembly with those who would not ever be angry with each other, who would never insult each other, never think a fellow Christian to be an idiot or a fool. It would be a place of reconciliation, of comfort, of support, where no one would hold grudges or be passive-aggressive or give the silent treatment. Christian brothers and sisters were to come before the altar together with a clear conscience in order to offer their prayers and fellowship together in God's presence. But just look at any group of Jesus' disciples from the beginning. You might well ask, even of the 12 apostles, where is love? There's plenty of anger to go around. Remember when James and John asked Jesus for the two top seats in heaven? The other disciples were indignant and got angry with them this nonsense called crucifixion, Peter thought himself smart enough to instruct Jesus on how to be the Messiah. But then, just look at you. Not only is no brotherly love taking place in every city, district, county, town, street, corner, and house, but what of your thoughts? Is it brotherly love that is constantly going on in there? What if every thought were broadcast on a screen next to you for everyone to see or read? They think you as constantly loving your brother. What goes on in your mind on a daily basis? How petty and judgmental are you? What if your family and friends knew even a portion of your thoughts? What if everyone could hear the conversations you've had behind closed doors? There's grudge-bearing, slander, and lots of anger. Where's the love? Where's the reconciliation? Where's the forgiving? Jesus makes clear that there is no distinction between your grudges and anger and the murderers walking the streets of the cities, counties, districts, towns, and such. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder, just so you're reminded, the fifth commandment and the rest of God's holy law simply lump you in with all the murderers and other backstabbers and judges you to be deserving of a life sentence in hell. Brotherly love doesn't exist the way the world thinks that it can exist. So, in looking at the church, there would be the temptation to think that God's church isn't working either. The church, however, is God's city of brotherly love. But it's not because of you. It's because of its founder, your brother in the flesh, who was sent into this world not with blistering anger, nor with insulting speech for foolish Christians, but the Word become flesh, advent to this fallen world, bearing his word of truth to rescue the backstabbers, grudge holders, and even murderers. With the church being God's city of true brotherly love, it has to start and end with Jesus and his love for you. That is his vision of taking the love that he has and giving it to you. He not only had a vision from before the foundations of the world, he comes in the flesh to fulfill it for you. He would go down from the mountain where he was instructing his disciples to proceed to another mountain where he would be lifted up on a cross, sacrificing himself with the sole mission of being murdered for murderers, of looking foolish for those whom the world would consider fools. That's why when the murderous Barabbas was released at Christ's trial, Christ Jesus opened not his mouth. It's why he was sent. The Lord came to be murdered in your place to atone for the sins that will never be able to be paid or made up is to forgive your sins and remove your guilt. He doesn't even bring up exactly what you've thought, said, and done from your past, because those sins have been taken into Christ and destroyed. For Christ was destroyed for you. He who knew no sin became sin for you, to take care of sin for you. Forgiven sins are never to be brought back to you. They are never to be held over your head, never to be used in some sort of a way of submission. The law reveals sin. It isn't proclaimed as if it will produce in you the ability to perform the law or escape from it in any way. Revealed sin brings you to need a Savior. It drives you to need a righteousness that is not found in yourselves. Oh, what brotherly love has been shown to you in God's holy city, the church. Will there be judgment for you who believe? No. Your Lord was judged in your place. Is there hellfire waiting for you who call your brother a fool? No. Through his separation from his heavenly Father and his ultimate crucifixion, Jesus suffered hell's fire for you. He is the one who fulfilled brotherly love for you. He is the one who paid your debt to the law down to the last penny, doing it with his own precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. You become citizens of God's city at a cost. It cost your Lord his life. It cost the spilling of his blood. But that's why he was sent. And he gives you the benefits of that spilling right here. That font of holy baptism. That is how you become citizens of his city. He sprinkles you with the water that he expensively bought, because when his word is added to the water, it's his word that speaks of Christ crucified, and thus his blood, the atonement for your sins, is then in the water. Your old self is crucified in holy baptism, and your new man lives in righteousness and purity forever, a righteousness that exceeds all, for it is the righteousness of Christ alone, accounted to you through faith alone. Some may simply put forth grace alone as the only sola. What is grace alone without the atoning merits of Christ for sins alone, without faith alone? The three solas are bonded together as much as the Holy Trinity. This, in other words, you should never hold any of them to be more important than the other. They all go together. Sola Scriptura, sola fides. I feel like the politician in white and the political party there. The three solas, by faith alone. Oh, sola gratia. By grace alone, through faith alone. And how do we know that? Sola Scriptura, by the word alone. Your living by grace alone, because of the atoning merits of Christ for your sins alone, through faith alone, that is how Jesus envisions his brotherly city of love. That is how the city of his church lives. reconciled to one another, confessing to one another, repenting and forgiving one another, together, being drawn before this altar with your prayers and to this altar to receive what the Father desires to give you, to receive his own Son's body and blood, given and shed for you for your forgiveness, placed into your mouths for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Christ's vision for the church is that you, born again, sons and daughters of God, would have a clear conscience, by grace alone, because of Christ's atonement, alone through faith alone, being drawn here by the gospel, being forgiven, to forgive, being absolved, to be absolvers. By the graciousness of God, be continually confessing your sins and receiving the forgiveness of your sins, receiving what you did not earn. Repent to one another and be reconciled. Have your consciences cleared of your grudges and hatred and words said behind closed doors. The one who could hold a grudge for ongoing rebelliousness and ongoing unfaithfulness against him who could give you the silent treatment and never talk to you again, that one keeps speaking to you each and every week. May the good graces of your Lord be drawn to his altar to leave behind all grudges, for it is here that it is proclaimed to you that because of the atoning merits of Christ, God Almighty has no grudge against you. Christ Jesus is exceedingly sufficient for righteousness. His righteousness is reckoned unto you through faith